What if you awoke this morning and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for yesterday? How would you fare? We might be pretty poor, wouldn't we? Why? Because most of our prayers are supplication. We just ask, 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 and ask, and ask. We question, 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 question. God says, if you don't add in a healthy dose of thanksgiving, your prayers will lose its power and you'll be given to worry, even though you think you pray a lot, because it's wrong. You don't pray right.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Let's face it, we live in a high-stress environment. Every time we turn around, there's a new demand on our time and attention, and it can cause some sleepless nights, some new gray hairs. Well, if you find yourself suffering from worry and anxiety, stay tuned. The doctor is in the house, Dr. Cordero. Here he is with a message entitled, Remedy for Worry.
All right, take out your Bibles. We're journeying through the book of Philippians, and we're coming to the final chapter. And as we journey through this, I want you to know how to navigate the Bible. So bring your Bibles with us, because the next series I'm going to begin is called The Avenue of the Giants. I'm going to go back to 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and we're going to take a look at the giants of faith, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Moses, all of these people. Samuel, who are they and why were they pillars of our faith? What was it about their lives that God portrays and says, this is the foundation of your faith, the faith of our forefathers? So bring your Bibles, and if you don't have one, grab one at the Bible fair. But here we go. Hold it above your head. Are you ready? This time you're going to say it with me, okay? Now we need to increase the Bible population here. Okay, here we go. Say this with me. Go. This is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. I am a citizen of heaven. Give yourselves a hand. Good job. So today, as we come to the final chapter, it is presumed that Paul the Apostle, who penned this epistle, was most probably in a Roman jail. He is about to face execution. Now, when you're faced with death, you don't talk about frivolous things. The cumulative total of what you're going to discuss in your last days will be the most important themes of life. And one of the themes that Paul is about to discuss is how to find peace with God. I mean, he was facing death. And today he's going to give us three steps to the remedy for worry. And it's not a program. It's not a mindset. It is the peace of God, or the God of peace. And several times you will hear in this portion of Scripture, the God of peace, or the peace of God. The answer. You're going to catch that in this. So we're going to embark on a short study on the remedy for worry, three steps, the remedy for worry. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you struggle sometimes with worry? You just worry sometimes. Raise your hand. Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do too. We all struggle with it because sometimes I think worry is warranted. You say, what? Yeah. It reminds me of a story. There's this large Portuguese monastery. It's up high on a hill, perched 200 feet in the air. And tourists want to go see it, but the only way to get up to this Portuguese monastery is you have to get in this basket, and it is hung by a rope, and Portuguese monks wind the rope up as you go up to the monastery. So there was a tourist that really wanted to go see this monastery. So he got in the basket with another Portuguese monk, and and it's starting to go up the side of this terribly terrifying side of a cliff. And this tourist is worrying. Not just because of the precariousness of the basket, but he looks at the rope by which they are suspended, and it is frayed, and it's starting to unravel. And this tourist is saying, turned to the monk and he said, "This worries me." And the monk says, "No worry, no worry. This does worry me." The monk said, "No worry." The tourist said, "How often do they change these ropes?" He said, "No worry." The tourist said, "No, I am worrying. How often do you guys change this rope?" He said, "No worry. As soon as it breaks." And when you worry, I think one of the worst things to do is someone worrying, you just say, "No worry, God will take care of it." I want to just say, shut up. I know that God will take care of it. How do I get from here to there? That's the question. There's a guy that I come up with all these stories. And hey, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. This is my birthday. All right. Okay. Just joking. This guy comes to the father and he says, "Sir, I want to marry your daughter." And the father says, and he's quite an affluent, influential father. So he says, "Well, son, what kind of job are you going to have?" "Oh, I want to be in the ministry. I want to be a pastor." And the father says, "Well, you're not going to get much." He says, "Oh, no worry. God will provide." Father looks at him and says, "Well, that's impressive, but it's not going to work." So, "No worry. God will provide." He said, "How are you going to buy a nice house for my daughter, a nice house that she deserves?" He said, "No worry. God will provide." The father says, "What about a nice diamond ring for my daughter when she gets married, a diamond kind of ring that she deserves?" The young man says, "No worry. God will provide." The father says, "What about your children, my grandchildren? How are you going to support my grandchildren?" He said, "Don't worry, God will provide." So he leaves and the guy's wife comes and says, "Honey, how was the meeting?" And the father said, "Well, I don't know. This guy hardly has a job. He's got no plans, got no clue. But the good news is, I believe he thinks I'm God." No worry, God will provide. Well, let's take a look at our notes. And right at the top of our notes, I pulled an excerpt out of the sixth verse. And let's read this as we start out of verse 6. Would you read it with me? Go. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You're going to find in this portion of this last chapter three steps to the remedy for worry. But he doesn't start with worry. He doesn't start with it as a program. No, he's going to rewind the tape way back here to the first step to give us probably one of the things that most probably causes people an unsettled feeling. And what is that? Well, the very first part of the chapter, he's going to address two women, strange names, Yodia and Syntyche. Yodia and Syntyche, who are fighting. And he's going to tell us, as he's about to tell them, he's going to tell us that the first step to a remedy for worry, to find the God of peace, is you need to, and would you write it in your notes, you need to learn to, here it is, relate rightly to one another. Healthy relationships. Because in the end, remember, he's in his last chapter, he's in prison, he's facing decapitation. And the most important things come to mind, and one of them is the importance of right relationships. I mean, look around this building. Everything you see except relationships with people, everything else you see, everything is going to burn. I don't care whether it's real estate or property or material things or whatever. It's all for naught. It's all going to burn. Except relationships. How often I have been with people on their deathbeds, And their greatest regret is that they didn't make relationships right before God closed the door. And on the other side, those who are still living, their greatest regret is they didn't spend the time necessary to make relationships right. Isn't that correct? That's the greatest thing. You see, if you have unsettled relationships here, you're always going to be overly cautious, suspicious, on the defense rather than offense. You'll have a lack of confidence rather than an abundance of confidence. And you'll always be concerned and worried about things. But when relationships are right and there's a sense of security and belonging, it's like it mitigates worry. It's like we'll be okay. And Paul addresses this in Yodia and Syntyche. Would you read this verses 2 and 3 with me? Would you read it? Go. I urge Yodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Two women, we don't know what happened, but we know that there's some unsettledness. And he's saying, if you do anything, get relationships right, especially with those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why does he say that? Why does he prioritize that? Because if we don't have it together here, family, how are we going to help those out there? And so he's saying, this is really crucial. So the peace of God will be with us. That there will be a lean or a tilt in our lives always to the healing of broken relationships. Not to stay neutral to them that are broken. Think about Jesus, his sole mission when he came, sent by the Father, God himself said, I'm going to take care of this personally because it's so important. He came to earth for one reason. You know what it was? To repair broken relationships between God and man and one another. The greatest commandment of all. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. Upon this commandment, the whole law abides. The whole law hangs. And that was his goal, to repair relationship between God and man. And that's called redemption. And man with one another. That's called fellowship of the body of Christ. That was it. And so when we have an unsettledness in relationships, there cannot be peace. Now, what I'm about to share with you is I'm just going to open the curtain of my own life and give you a peek behind something personal to let you know that we all need to be a part of this process, me included, every single one of us. And it's not that hard. Rewind the tape about 5-6 years ago. My alma mater called me and said, Wayne, we're going into bankruptcy as a Bible college, and if you can turn this thing around, we'll keep it open to train young men and women for ministry. But if not, we have to shut down. And so after talking to our elders and our staff, I said, would you give me a chance to turn this thing around? And so we all agreed and that we'd all stay the course and allow me that time to go up there. And so I went up there, never worked harder in my life. I had to raise $3.8 million the first 6 months just to keep this thing on life support systems. And then after that, $110,000 a month I had to raise to keep the doors open for these students. Well, it worked and worked 24/7, finally got it turned around, handed the baton to another president. And then when I came back home, it was just nothing right or wrong about it. It's just a bunch of our staff felt it was time for them to go out and plant churches, which is our DNA. In the next year and a half, we would plant out 8 churches. And so I was already depleted and tired when I came back. And then to see that migration, it was like, oh, and one of them was a beloved son of mine in the faith, Pastor Elwin, that went to New Hope Metro. So it was a bittersweet thing because I'm glad for him, but I'm also sad for me because I need help. So when I saw that taking place, you know, you're happy, but you're not. That's just the human condition. It's just like, oh, Okay, great. Oh, yeah, fine. God bless you. Oh, yeah, so. But what I noticed was after that, the distance took place, just a distance. It wasn't anything that Elwin did. It was probably something I said or that had an edge to my voice or I had an innuendo that I had made. And it just kind of was a drift that took place. Again, not his part, it was mine, I'm sure. So it just a drift took place. But then I got busy trying to build the church back up. He contracts leukemia. And then the roof collapses. So we're busy with our lives. So we have very little contact. But the separation doesn't get any better. And so, bang, it's back on me again. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do this much more. And as time went on, I heard that Elwin's son had some personal struggles. And so at that moment, here's what happened. I have a thing called a life planner. You get it at the bookstore. But in one of the months, it says on each month, it has a column and it says relationships. And what that's meant for is every month you are to write down a relationship with someone that just isn't settled. As it could be, I need to increase my relationship with my son or my wife or my daughter, or my husband, my friend, my neighbor, whatever it might be, so that you settle relationships. You don't live with unsettled relationships. And I noticed that I had been putting Elwin's name down there month after month after month, but I hadn't really inaugurated anything to bring healing to that. And so some months ago, when I had heard the struggles that were taking place and he had just come out of the leukemia and Brandon was struggling a little. So the Lord said, you just call him and let him know you're praying for him because he just needs your touch. A dad's kind of assurance that things are going to be okay. And so I began contacting him and he was really gracious. He opened his heart and said, absolutely, thank you so much. And then same-sex marriage bill came up and I thought, oh, Elwin's an attorney. I'd like to get him involved in this. So we began meeting and talking. And so then I'm saying all of this to say is finally I came to the point where I said, hey, Elwin, we're having a Doing Church as a Team conference in February. Would you come and be a part again of just speaking and teaching? And again, he's so gracious. He said, absolutely, I'd be happy to do that. And I thought, oh, that is so cool. Wouldn't that be great? And so I just felt a healing starting to take place. And here is just last week, Elwin and I were on a radio program with Dawn. And just the wonderful healing of that which was unsettled for so long. I felt God build a bridge. And I thought, you know, that's what we have to do. We've got to always live with a forward lean in our life that's always moving to healing unsettled relationships. Otherwise, how can we live with the peace of God? The God of peace wants us to have that kind of heart that says, let's inaugurate healing. Let's inaugurate healing. Let's inaugurate healing. Because again, it's not because of any insidious kind of sin that's intentional. It's just because of the sharp corners of life that you and I run into, and you're going to have some unsettled relationships in your family with friends, etc. But listen, God has not asked us to become Sherlock Holmeses, where we try to figure out who's wronger in this or who's righter. God didn't ask us to be Sherlock Holmes. He asked us to be peacemakers. But we often become Sherlock Holmeses. So no, you are to be peacemakers. Always have a forward lean in your life to inaugurate peace. Because when you settle relationships, worry begins to decrease because the God of peace begins to increase. So the first is right relationships. And then he goes right into the next point. Not only relate rightly, but then he says, I want you to learn, here's the second step, as a remedy to worry, where the peace of God reigns rather than the lack of peace. But he said, pray rightly. Pray rightly. I want you to read this with me out of verses 6 and 7. And we read it in the beginning, but let's read it again. Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with... Stop right there. The word prayer and supplication The word supplicate means to ask. All right? If you supplicate God, you're asking God for something. But here's what Paul is saying. Now remember, he's in jail, ready to die. And he says, be anxious. Because could he be anxious right then? Oh, absolutely. But he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, you substitute this. But make sure that you pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. He doesn't stop there. With thanksgiving. With what? Say it again. With
thanksgiving.
That is probably the missing element to our prayers that would have given power. He says, don't just supplicate. Because think about how many times you've prayed over the last 2 weeks. How much of that, percentage-wise, was asking God for stuff? It might be 100%. But he says, add thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, continue. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? If you will add a healthy scoop of thanksgiving, the result, the peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds. You know, I am convinced that God is more concerned with us being grateful than just about anything else. Because you see, if we have a tilt in our heart for gratefulness, not just for peacemaking, but also for gratefulness, if you're grateful, you're on the offense. If you're not grateful, you'll be on the defense. If you're thankful for what God has given to me, my family, my life, breath in my lungs, salvation, I got a church, I got friends. When you're on the offense and you're grateful, worry begins to diminish. When you're no longer grateful, then everything becomes ambivalent. Everything becomes like cautious. And God is saying here through the Apostle Paul, don't just supplicate, but add a healthy dose of thanksgiving. Result, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. I want to ask you two questions. Two questions. Are you ready? Very important questions. Number one, here's the first question. What if you awoke this morning and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for yesterday? What if you awoke this morning and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for yesterday? How would you fare? We might be pretty poor, wouldn't we? Why? Because most of our prayers are supplication. We just ask, 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 and ask, and ask. We question, 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 question. God says, if you don't add in a healthy dose of thanksgiving, your prayers will lose its power, and you'll be given to worry, even though you think you pray a lot, because it's wrong. You don't pray right. What if you awoke this morning, and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for yesterday? How would we fare? Let me take you to a story in Luke 17. 10 lepers come to Jesus. And they say, Lord, look at us. Look at this. Our skin is eroding. Would you heal us? And Jesus doesn't heal them right then. But you know what he says? Okay, you guys go show yourself to the priest that you're healed. We're not healed yet. Just go, go, go. So on their way to the priest, all of a sudden, one of them says, Joey, what? Your arm. What about my arm? Look. Oh, dude, it looks good. Billy, look at yours. Wow. Hey, Phil, look, your face. It's back to normal. Oh, man. And they just start hooting and hollering. Woo-hoo. They take off running down the street. Let's party. All except one. Oh, Jesus, you healed me. I gotta say thank you. Come on. No way, man. We're cool. He finds his way back, falls at the feet of Jesus, and says, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Remedy for Worry by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.